This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
And I'll tell you something, I think every one of us could pray every day, God, please help me not to be deceived. And I've been praying lately, if I'm believing anything that's not true, please reveal it to me. The title of my message this morning is, How Many Lies Do You Believe? How many lies do you believe? So it's a serious subject because if you believe a lie, even though it's not true, it becomes true to you because that's what you believe. And even though it's a lie, you'll react as if it's the truth. And that's how Satan gets an entryway into our lives. He is a liar. The father of lies, the great deceiver. And we're told in the Bible that as the last days approach, and if we're not living in them, I don't know when anybody ever has. As the last days approach, that deception will become greater and greater in the earth. How many of you see the, without even doing too much thinking about it, you can see the deception at work out in the world today? All right, John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. I like that. Just like I speak English, the devil speaks lies. That's his language. He speaks the language of lies. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Well, now, Jesus is being pretty stern here. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Who was he talking to? He was talking to religious people. I didn't say godly people. I said religious people. You know how many people march off to a church somewhere every single Sunday? And they have like zero real relationship with God. They're just doing what they think they should be doing. And they're not necessarily bad people, but they don't realize that Jesus didn't die so we could all have our own little brand of religion. But he died so we could have a deep, intimate, personal relationship with him. As long as your experience is just, I go to church, then you're missing the point entirely. You are the church. He lives in us. We corporately are the church. And by the way, just in case the thought hasn't occurred to you, Jesus is here today in the midst of us. And he's also living in the midst of you if you have received him as your Lord and Savior. And God does a lot for us. How many of you agree that he does a lot for us? Okay, but now let me tell you the second part that some people don't get. He also expects a lot from us. This is not just a one-sided thing where we just get this heavenly Santa Claus type thing where, you know, every time we need something, we run and ask God for it. But he says, I will if you will. If you do this, I'll do this. If you do this, I'll do this. I'm actually working on a project in Proverbs. Got an itch to write a book on Proverbs. And so I'm about halfway through that, and a handful of things that I find very interesting is, I don't know, there's probably 12 main subjects in Proverbs, but he just repeats things over and over and over. You know, now that I'm on chapter 17, I'm thinking, well, what am I going to say that I haven't said before? And then the thought came to me, well, if God just kept repeating himself, I guess it's okay if I do too. But the one thing you learn in Proverbs is that if you walk in wisdom, you'll be blessed. And if you're a fool, you won't be blessed. It's just that simple. If we do what God asks us to do, I don't care how big of a mess your life is in, if you would take the Bible and begin to learn what's in it and apply it to your life will change and you will have what God says you can have. Religion can be more deceptive than anything, because it's easy to think, well, because you go to church and you put some money in the offering and, I don't know, maybe you volunteer at church for something, that's it. You believe that God exists, but are we living for him? I mean, truly living for him? Do we believe that song that they just sang, I can't get enough? I can't get enough. Are you living for God, or are you just expecting him to live for you? Are you married to Jesus, or are you just dating? See, I never got Dave's name until we got married. A lot of people are just dating, but they want the power that's in the name of Jesus. We need to get serious. We are living in serious times, and we need to get serious about this. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So Paul had this concern that people were going to be deceived. And I'll tell you something, I think every one of us could pray every day, God, please help me not to be deceived. And I've been praying lately, if I'm believing anything that's not true, please reveal it to me. It's a very deceptive thing, because when you're deceived, you're believing a lie, but the very nature of the word deception means that you don't know that you're believing a lie. And so we need to pray that God will reveal truth to us in every area of our life. One of the subjects in Proverbs that's covered extensively is that only a fool hates correction. There's so much in it about loving correction. We need to love correction. You know, not get all if somebody says something that, you know, makes you a little uncomfortable. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, I think if you can go to a church week after week after week and they never say anything that makes you squirm a little bit, then they're probably not saying very much. Amen. I don't apologize if you squirm a little in your seat. Well, I just came to be encouraged. Well, you don't understand. My life is a mess, and Joyce, it's a mess, and I need to be encouraged. Well, I'm trying to tell you why it's a mess, so you can become someone who encourages other people and not the one who always needs the encouragement. Genesis 3, 1 through 4. Now the serpent was more crafty, a little creep, than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, so the devil talks to you. Now I know there's a theory floating around out there. It's amazing all the new doctrines. Well, you know, we've evolved. Well, can I just tell you something? God has not evolved. I think we think that, you know, because we have all these new ideas now, well, you know, this is the 21st century. I don't care what century it is. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And sure, we make progress and things change and societies change and the way we do things change, but God doesn't change. If he said it 10,000 years ago, he still means it today. And so we can come up with whatever we want, you know. I heard somebody say something recently and I thought, you silly thing, you. They were talking about, what were they talking about? Oh, you know, some people don't believe now that they don't believe there's a hell. You know, because God is so loving and kind, he would never send anybody to hell. Well, he doesn't send people to hell. They send themselves. God is so good. Now everybody's going to be saved because God is just so good. Well, you know what? The Bible says that God is good, but it says that he's kind and also severe. One of the things we're missing today more than anything is reverential fear and awe of God. We need to do a little bit of trembling when we think God's in the house. Amen. Sure, everybody wants to believe that it's just, you know, all dessert and sweet and, you know, kind and nice. And we need that. We all need to be encouraged, but we need to be corrected too. And we need to learn to let the word do that and to receive it personally for ourselves. So the devil talks to us. The servant was more crafty than any of the wild animals, and he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now you see, he hasn't really just told her a lie yet. He's just kind of, I'm sure the tone was, did God really say that? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Here it comes. You will certainly not die. There it is. Well, right there, Eve should have said, out. Conversation's over. You got to be careful about engaging the devil in conversation. It's kind of like those little arguments you have with yourself in your head when you know you shouldn't do something, but you're trying to figure out a way that you can do it and it'd still be okay. No, you won't die. The devil was suggesting to Eve that God was keeping something good from her. Now listen to what I'm going to say. And that if she did what God had told her not to do, there would be no punishment. You didn't hear that. Don't think that if God says not to do something, that you can do it and be the one person in the universe that gets by with it. See? Oh, well, God's good. He understands. He wouldn't. You know, yeah, I take I take all kinds of supplies home from the office, my paper clips, my rubber bands, my, you know, my pens and pencils, my notepads. And if a little conviction comes, then right away we say, well, they don't pay me enough anyway. No, you just stole from the company you work for. And I could even go so far as to say, and some of you won't like this, but if you're late for work every day, you're stealing from them. Okay, I can tell when I'm not welcome. I'll go on to something else. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So when it comes to praying for people that are lost and not saved, I think one of the best ways to pray for them is that God would open their eyes and show them the truth. Amen. Your kids that are strayed away from God or have never gotten close to God, pray for them that they will see the truth and that God will open their eyes. So often we're trying to make people believe things that they just don't even understand because they're deceived. Satan has blinded their minds and their eyes need to be opened. Amen? I started to tell you a story a while ago and I just remembered I didn't finish it about the guy that I thought, well, you silly thing, you. Want to hear the rest of that story? He said, I don't even remember what he said. It was so too dumb to even remember, but just... It was something like, you know, well, I don't believe there's a hell, and somebody else was trying to tell him that there was, and he says, well, that's not my Jesus. Well, we can't all just pick our version. There's one God and Father, one Jesus, one Holy Ghost. They're all in complete agreement. And you can't just go pick your version because the true version is uncomfortable for the lifestyle that you want to live. Amen? Deception means to believe that wrong is right. But you know, the Bible says, be it unto you even as you believe. Now, that works in the positive, but it also works in the negative. You know, if you really believe something, then you're going to live as if that's true. And I said, the older I get, which is pretty far up there now, the more I realize how simple it is. Here it is. Read it, do it. Everything works out good. Read it, don't do it, and have a messed up, miserable life. It's up to you. Peace, turmoil, heaven, hell, good, bad. I set before you life and death. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. Now, you know, we're not real big on responsibility today. And so even this book that I've written on your battles belong to the Lord. I mean, I might as well just tell you ahead of time because you'll figure out on page one that I'm not saying that God will do everything for you while you sit and do absolutely nothing. See, we're partners with God. And what God wants us to do, he wants to fight our battles for us, but he wants us to stop getting our own plan and going out and trying to do our own thing and get still long enough to hear what he wants to say that will actually maybe really work. In 2 Chronicles, when Jehoshaphat had all these enemies coming against him and he did not know what to do, and they went before God and they said, God, we don't know what to do. We don't have the wisdom to know what to do. We don't have the strength to know what to do. And God told them, the battle is not yours, but mine. I'll fight the battle. But he said, now you go, take your place, and wait for me. And you know what their place was? Jehoshaphat bowed on his knees and worshiped, and he sent out singers to sing, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And you know what the Bible says? The enemy got so confused, they were self-slaughtered. Now that's the way to fight. Amen. That's the way to fight. Not, well, I'm mad at you and I'm never letting you into my life again. And if you think I'm going to put up with that, you've got another thing coming. That's just doing what the devil wants us to do. That's not doing what God wants us to do. He worshiped and they sang. Well, of course the enemy got confused. He doesn't understand that. He just gave you the biggest 1-2 knockout punch of your life. You've had a lousy week, and here you are at a conference worshiping God. Well, he doesn't know what to do with that. He doesn't know what to do with that. Let me tell you, we all have problems. You're not the only one in the room with problems. We all have problems. And no matter how big your problem is, there's somebody in this room that has a problem bigger than yours. But we have a goal. Stay peaceful in the storm. Stay thankful. You know, doing spiritual warfare is really not that hard. It can almost be fun when you learn how to do it the way Jesus did it, not the way we do it. Amen? So we're partners with God. He's not going to do everything for us while we're passive and do nothing. But what we have to learn is what to do and what not to do. Because we can't do some things that only God can do, and he won't do the part that he's given us to do.
What a great question. How many lies do we believe? Our enemy, the devil, I get so tired of his tricks. But we need to know who he really is and take those deceptions seriously as we try to figure out what he's doing and how to fight back so that we are not deceived. You need to know when you're being lied to. That's why it's important that we study God's word. That's where the answers are. That is how we know truth over feelings, over what the devil's telling us, over what anybody else is saying. We stand on the truth of God's word. We pray and we ask God to reveal that truth in every area of our lives. You see, as Jesus said in John 8, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Doesn't freedom sound wonderful? Well, today's offer, what we are presenting to you from Joyce today, these are kind of the top of what Joyce has for us. And they're going to help you do just that. These are two things by Joyce that have made a difference in millions, literally millions of people's lives. First of all is Battlefield of the Mind. This is the updated edition in paperback. It's her number one seller for a really good reason. This will set you free from so many lies. And then realizing the importance of digging into God's word every single day, a good way to do that is to grab the Battlefield of the Mind devotional. So you'll get these two together and you'll start realizing who Satan is and how he's messing with your head, and you can help win that battle in your mind. Now, don't go away. After the break, you'll enter the tragic world of young women caught up in human trafficking, and then you'll experience the hope and new beginnings you can help make possible. You don't want to miss it.
Need a girls' trip? Register now for the Love Life Women's Conference, September 22nd through 24th in St. Louis, Missouri. Come on, register now and join us.
Watch episodes of Enjoying Everyday Life, read daily devotionals, follow a Bible study plan here, 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 and here. The same great teaching from Joyce that you know and love, now in the palm of your hand with the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app. Think of it as your daily dose of encouragement, right here, right now. Search Joyce Meyer in your app store and download the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app today.
How many trips have you been on now?
This is my third trip with Land of Hope.
Uh-huh. And what was the main reason that you did want to do this? You said you wanted to travel to help people.
Yes, it's a total different work as a doctor here than back in my home country. But it's really, I feel like I really wanted to do that, to just help people in poor countries who cannot have access to medical care. I do that because I love Jesus. And I hope that the patients feel that. Sometimes we just pray right at the investigation table with them, so just to make them know that Jesus is the doctor all above us.
Downtown LA, Hollywood is right over here. This is a place where so many people come to make their dreams come true. But as we have been in this place, we've been observing a much darker side of what also happens here, and that is human trafficking. One of the largest problems in the world for sex trafficking happens right here in this city. Last night, late throughout the night, we spent time driving around, observing, seeing what was happening, and it is heartbreaking. It's shattering to watch these very young women and very young girls being watched by their pimps, walking the streets, jumping in and out of cars. It is a devastating thing to see. The need to make a difference for young women and girls here is overwhelming. And we want you to know that we're fighting against it. We're not just silently standing by. We are working together with this amazing place where I am standing. It's the Los Angeles Dream Center. And this is a place that is a safe haven, a place of rescue, where women can come and have emergency shelter. But they can go deeper than that. They can also begin to dig into God's Word, to be loved on in amazing ways, and to understand, perhaps for the first time, that God has great love for them, that He values them, that He wants to take them into His arms and help them build a new life. We are making a difference here. The young women that we've met are incredible, and we want you to be a part of it too. If you want to fight for women and girls all around the world, join us in our Project Girl initiative. This is what you can do right now. Go to our website, give us a call. Make a commitment to fight for women and girls right now.
For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.